Hi, my name is Rev Joe, and I have a book addiction. I buy books and collect them like other people may collect Hummel figurines or foreign stamps of the world. Those are a lot smaller and take up less space, which would be nice. I buy them, but I don't always read them right away, sometimes for years. That's how I came across a book I had bought in 2014 called A Nun on the Bus by Sister Simone Campbell. I bought this at General Assembly in Providence, Rhode Island in 2014. In 2012, she was advocating for health care reform. That's when we had President Barack Obama and they were trying to get the Affordable Care Act enacted with Medicaid in every state. She had made the decision while advocating on Capitol Hill that she needed to take this action to the streets. Sister Simone actually acquired her law degree while as a nun and used her knowledge and expertise to lobby for those causes she felt were most important. Poverty and homelessness were issues she cared a great deal about and knew that if everyone had health care, that could fix so many of the problems the people she served needed. There is a quote in the book included from then Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi, who stated, "If there's a single phrase to describe Sister Simone, it is compassionate conviction with bravery and optimism. She is focused on the common good. She has the will and drive to do right." Unquote. I got so much out of this book, even 10 years later. Yes, we passed the Affordable Care Act, and it's been enhanced even more since then. 10 states, however, have still not expanded Medicaid that's included in the ACA. Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Kansas, Mississippi, South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas, Wisconsin, and Wyoming. Still to this day, I find that mind-boggling. Some of the statistics I read showed that if these 10 states would expand Medicaid, costs for the uninsured would go down by at least 25%. That would save us so much with health care costs. This is where I sometimes don't understand how people view different legislation when it could help so many and not hurt them at all. I have always been a liberal. I have always believed in service and compassion, just like Sister Simone. I cry most days when I watch the news. Real tears come tumbling down, because I feel for the pain that so many are going through in our world today. So when I get into discussions with others that don't have the same views as I do, I literally sometimes feel pain. Sometimes anger and frustration, but generally empathic pain. I feel for those who are going through so much. I see Gaza and the pain and suffering happening there, and I just want Netanyahu to stop it. I blame him for the suffering he is causing. I know he doesn't have boots on the ground, but he is sending the boots, and they are hurting innocent people and children. I see the valiant efforts of Ukrainian soldiers, and I blame Putin for the pain and destruction he has rained down on this valiant country fighting to save what is theirs. And then I talk to some of my relatives, and they see things completely differently. The big, huge cloud that hovers over us also goes by the name of MAGA. My dear, dear aunt, who has been a surrogate mother to me, is a MAGA follower. And it's gotten to the point where we really don't talk very often any longer. It's mainly superficial talk about family members or the weather or what ailment she has these days. She is 90 years old, so I know she has a lot of physical imperfections that are very real and sometimes can be dangerous. It saddens me that we don't seem to have the same close emotional relationship we used to have. I'm only guessing, but I do believe it's due to Trump and MAGA. I could be wrong, but my instincts usually are fairly correct. And it saddens me. And I know my family isn't any different than so many other families in this country. So I found so many wise words in Sister Simone's book. In one part she states, quote, "We can be clearly who we are called to be, but we do not have to be adversarial. We can attempt to stay open and loving to those who criticize us. This is not easy, but it is the gospel way," unquote. I know she's a nun, though, and I don't see myself as pure and honest as she is. I'm sure she gets angry. I'm sure she gets frustrated, but I know she doesn't show it. I've seen her speak on TV and online, and she said even after the Vatican censured the nuns from traveling and taking the bus to various states to speak their cause, they still kept going. To quote her again, "Now look at what the needs of our country are. A hunger for spirituality. A hunger for somebody to listen. A deep, deep, deep need for community. So when I look at the gifts we are being given and at the needs of our country, I think we need to wake up as women religious to find a way to welcome people in, to share this richness of what we have. That is the challenge, the invitation, the opportunity. It's all trusting that we are one body, that God, or God of your understanding, is with us every moment, that we will not be orphaned, but we have to respond to the nudge," unquote. She has the answer, and you don't need to be a woman religious person to do just that. We are being challenged today. We are being invited to stand up and speak out for those beliefs and convictions that we stand for. We have the opportunity to declare what it is we believe and how we can solve what we see are sometimes insolvable issues. When I spoke to my aunt a year or so ago and talked about climate change, she basically said, "Well, I won't be here, so it doesn't matter to me." I was stunned and said, "But I'll be here, and your son, my cousin, will be here, and we will have to live in that world." She didn't care. And I couldn't understand that. She didn't care because she would be gone. Now, I know there are many people that do care, and I'm counting on them to help curb climate change because they see a reason to, whether or not they will still be living. But what do we do with the people who don't care? What do we do with those folks? They may be relatives or neighbors or coworkers that you see all the time and that sometimes virulently disagree with your beliefs. That's the hard part. That's the part where Michelle Obama's words ring in my ears. When they go low, we go high. Oh, it's so easy to say that. It's inspiring to say that. But how hard is it to do? That's the part so much of America needs to work on. Our politicians, some of them, decided a few years ago that it was okay to call people names, to deride them for their physical disabilities or their mental capacities or something that was different about them. It's become a regular feature when someone is pontificating about an opponent to call them a derogatory name. I really hate that. I really do hate when someone denigrates another person, not based on their policies or behavior, but on something about their person. I don't care that J.D. Vance has changed his name. I changed my name when I got married and decided to keep it when I got divorced. That was my choice. And I think it's everyone else's choice to change their names as many times as they wish. Our trans friends change their names, and I think it's an honor to call them by the name they wish to be known as. And they are attacked regularly for changing their names. So what I see in our country these days is that so many people wish to denigrate someone because they hold different beliefs or ideas than we do, and they search for something to deride them for. Just because they're Democrat or a Republican or an independent. That has become a dangerous habit that seems to be living securely in our country. It doesn't seem to be going away. So I turn to words from Sister Simone again. When she was in Janesville protesting Paul Ryan's budget, long time ago, she was talking to reporters after she left the congressman's office, and she had these words to say to them. Quote, "Of course we don't agree on everything, but we were there to lift up a different point of view and say, let's talk. If we do invest for the future, we have to take care of things now. We need to be responsible. That's who we are. That's what we think has to happen. We each need to exercise responsibility, but responsibility only works when we're in solidarity and community. We're a nation that values individual responsibility, but treasures community, and we know we can only do it together. That's the same in our faith." Unquote. I love her words, and I'm missing that feeling of community in our country, and I know we can get it back. We have to work for it. Know that community is possible again. Learn how to discuss differences without animosity or violence. We are evolved enough to do this. And I have two examples. Last Monday, late afternoon, I attended on Zoom an honoring of the 79th anniversary of the bombing of Hiroshima. It was in Hiroshima, the morning of August 6th, but here it was on August 5th at 4 p.m. They honored each country of the world, which took over 2 hours, where a person would wave a flag of a country, and in Japanese they would say what I think was something like peace on earth. There wasn't a translation, but some of the ceremony was in English along with Japanese. These compassionate and loving people honored every country, including ours, in the world to be peaceful and to never experience nuclear war. There was such a generosity of spirit in this service. It was morning around the time when the bomb struck that they started, and they continued on to include every small, medium, or large country on this planet. I stayed on Zoom for the entire service, and I felt renewed in spirit to see their compassion and kindness. The second example has been for the last 2 weeks, watching the Olympics. Watching these young people compete with kindness and generosity towards each other, hugging competitors, congratulating them for a job well done, never seeing any animosity or jealousy amongst any of them. They were there to be joyful, just being there. They showed us how we should be with each other, strangers and friends alike. It almost made me cry. It wasn't just the pageantry of these events. Oh my gosh, the costumes were amazing. But the camaraderie and spirit of friendship that just pervaded each event. That's how we should be living. Every day, every hour, we need to hold that spirit inside of us. I know we're not nuns. I know sometimes we feel like only nuns can hold that kind of patience, compassion, and kindness. However, we can too. I am here this morning to say, yes, we can. Let us keep all of these examples in our hearts so that when the time comes, we can react with patience, compassion, and kindness. Help us spread that spirit every day we are on this planet. May it be so. Blessed be.